Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of It's Not My Fault the OSG Podcast is Not Popular, episode 233. My name's Helen.
My name is Justin.
And, Justin, did you do anything over the past couple weeks that was anime or manga related? Since I didn't do much. Justin was fighting me before the podcast, saying that I had already mentioned my mom watching Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju. But I don't think that's possible, because I watched that with her during Thanksgiving, which was after we last recorded.
I feel like she brought something up about her mom, Helen showing her mom something else she was watching. I thought it was Rakugo Shinju, but maybe it was something else, as Helen alluded to, and I thought she mentioned it last episode.
It's possible that Justin mixed this up with me saying, yeah, my brother started showing her My Dress Up Darling. Although what that says about Justin, to mix up those two shows, I couldn't tell you.
I have no idea what the thought process was. It just sounded familiar. But whatever, it is.
I also don't know what my brother's thought process was. I never understand what his thought process is, so.
So the thought process was, anime, available here. Let's watch it. Boom. Not sure if it's good.
Not for much longer, since Crunchyroll is getting rid of their ad-supported service, so.
What does that mean?
Soon there's going to be far less of that happening.
Oh, interesting. What does that mean? They just, like, no...
You know how...
Go ahead.
They've had a couple shows for a while now, which have still been, you can watch free with ads, even if you don't have a paid membership. But now even that's going to be going away at the end of the month. So there's only, like, 24 titles that were left on there that you could watch like that, as opposed to everything back when Crunchyroll first started doing paid memberships. But yeah, all that's going away, and I think My Dress Up Darling might have been one of the ones that was on that list. I took a glance to see what titles were still on it.
This era of making sure every streaming service says, no, we cannot watch, almost every streaming service, saying, no, you cannot watch a show on our service without you logging or signing in or creating an account with us or having a membership. What a beautiful streaming world, ecosystem. Just beautiful.
Yeah, they just really wanted to hit that 25 million paid subscribers by the end of 2025 mark, and this ain't it, boss.
Well, since Helen hasn't been able to catch up to all the anime and everything, instead of watching her mom watch all the anime, I can say I finally caught up to all the shows that I have been wanting to watch. I will try to go over This Monster Will Eat Me when the winter... When we get to the fall season final impressions, but I did ultimately catch up to that. I did end up dropping the Mangaka Adventures one. I just didn't really vibe with it. I gave it 2 more episodes, I think, and I was like, yeah, I think I'll see what the Monster Yuri one instead of the Yuri Mangaka one in this case. And then the other show that I was going to watch was Gintama Mr. Genpachi's Zany Class. And that was the last one I caught up to. So now I'm all caught up to everything that I was interested in at least watching. But I'll just give a couple quick thoughts about this one, because it was obviously one of the more anticipated shows I want to look for. I want to watch. It was obviously, it's part of the Gintama series. But my main concern was, not only is it just kind of an older series, as in like this type of Genpachi Zany Class was like years, oh maybe even a decade ago. It was a long time ago. But now they're adapting it into 2025. Does most of the humor hit now as opposed to when it was created back then? And the answer is mostly no. Like, it's nice to see most of the characters again: Gintoki, Kagura, Shinpachi, the whole crew, everything like that. Just all the wacky zaniness of just the many issues and problems these characters all have, but in a more lighter setting. Because obviously Gintama is mostly obviously more joke oriented, but then when it gets serious, it does get serious. But this is all, the spin-off is all jokes and everything. But I can't say for the majority of it's hitting all that hard or hitting as funny as it should. So from that perspective, it's a little disappointing. So from just me resuming it, like, it's just nice to see the characters again. But I feel like it could just be better, or at least maybe just being adapted differently, I think. I think I have more thoughts about that as the season once you get to the fall wrap up, but only definitely for diehards of Gintama fans only. If you're not into the whole Gintama, I think there's so many in jokes. Like, what is a gorilla? Well, just a fun fact that is basically how the author Hideki Sorachi has interpreted his character as his creation. Like, so is a very in Gintama joke that only those who watch the series, Rachel read the series, would know. So, yeah, not much else to add for now. But yes, I have finally caught up to anime. Soon enough, I'll be catch up to the everything else I've been behind on, and that'll be good for me. I feel like I'll be centered after all these after a month or so.
I mean, I feel like anyone who's watching Gintama is a hardcore fan, and I feel like that's kind of been the case from the beginning of it. I feel like I always saw that one as in, if you vibe with it, it's good, but if you don't, it's not going to get any better. I feel like that's how I've always seen the show portrayed online.
Well, especially, well, I would just, yeah, I'll just add that, yeah, the spin-off will not help you in any way, shape, or form in wanting to jump into the Gintama series. Not at all, for sure.
All right, so we're keeping all that quick today because there was a surprising amount of news for the past 2 weeks, which included a major holiday in the US. Usually there would not be as much news, but 2025, baby! Netflix has now entered into an agreement to purchase Warner Bros., HBO, and HBO Max. I do not understand why HBO and HBO Max are considered two separate things at this point, but the agreement is to purchase all of them.
Wait, hold up. It's just like how you have ESPN app, but then you also have ESPN Plus. What reason?
Why are those not the same thing?
Don't look at me. I don't have either. I just say ESPN Plus for various reasons, but not getting into all that. But yes, I have no clue why they have two apps, but we're digressing. But just pointing out HBO Max, I guess there's a reason for that. Now go ahead.
And so, as part of this acquisition, Netflix is acquiring Warner Brothers Film Studios and its television studios, in addition to all of their back catalog, which is what I initially thought was going on when I saw this purchase agreement. And so this is coming shortly after Warner Bros. Discovery's previously announced split into two separate publicly traded companies happened, Warner Bros. And Discovery Global, which, was kind of how it was in the first place before Warner Brothers bought Discovery. That split is expected to be finalized around third quarter 2026. The completion of this transaction is subject to regulatory approval, shareholder approvals, and other closing conditions, but we all know that the US has been incredibly weak sauce on breaking up monopolies and enforcing any of that stuff for literal decades. Some of the earlier monopoly cases in US history were in fact saying that studios could not own theaters, because that gave it too much power if they were both making the movies and distributing the movies. But that's been tossed out the window since now you've got places like Netflix, which make their own stuff and then stream their own stuff, and sometimes decide to put it in theaters. So there's also a whole bunch of money stuff going on, with how much Netflix offered to pay Warner Bros. Per share. I believe it's being called a cash deal, but I do not understand how exactly it's a cash deal if Netflix had to borrow more money to pay for this, especially since Netflix is already in debt. I saw someone quip online that when I'm trying to borrow, more money, it's called compulsive gambling, but when they're trying to do it, it's called, a sound business decision. So, yeah, this sucks all around. Apparently, a couple of HBO Max exclusive shows have already started showing up on Netflix, but as I was telling someone in a Discord, that could be legal even if the agreement was somehow blocked. You still could sublicense out your exclusives to another service if you really wanted to.
Yeah, that's
Although we're going to be talking about licensing and sublicensing and what you can do there in a second.
As I wrote in the script notes, I actually was overwhelmed just looking at all this. Because you realize, wait, hold up. Who's all involved in this? So we have, obviously, Warner Brothers Discovery alongside AT&T. I love AT&T. Don't forget about them. So it spun out the Warner Media business. Emerging Discovery, this was years ago. Why is this well for anime? Obviously, for anime, it's obviously also video game purposes, but we're going to focus on anime. We have Cartoon Network, which has the Toonami Adult Swim programming blocks, Boomerang, HBO Max, Verb, and other channels and services. This is obviously long ago, I believe. Verb doesn't exist anymore, I believe. So that's not around anymore.
Yeah, I was saying it's been a while since I've heard that name come up.
We've had, obviously, a whole bunch of HBO, like the Ghibli and a couple anime on HBO Max, if I'm not mistaken, already. I'm not sure if Warner Bros. Japan, I assume, because if we're going with the whole Netflix is acquiring pretty much all the film studios, television studios, then I would maybe encompass Warner Bros. Japan. Then that means that, will that be affected? Because they have all but these my anime. Warner Bros. Japan specifically has produced over 80 anime titles, a couple big ones, Danmachi, Food Wars, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, just to name a few.
I don't think I've seen Warner Brothers Japan specifically mentioned in anything, so I would assume that is a separate enough company to not be in the steal.
Yeah,
that is my guess.
It's the only real question is whether or not when it says it entered the film agreement for Netflix to acquire Warner Brothers, its film studios, its television studios, like does Warner Brothers Japan fall under that umbrella? I don't think so either. I feel like it's like the NBC and NBC Universal Japan thing, where it's kind of like not the same in a way. I guess kind of like that. Legitimately, only time would tell. This is all stuff where, again, it's the definitive agreement between the two. It has to go through a number of approvals, but as also Helen alluded to, we've seen a lot of notable couples being bought and. Did the U.S. stop any of that? No. In fact, obviously, we talked about AT&T selling out Crunchyroll to Sony. That obviously went through, and now we have a whole mess. But I feel like this goes through, which is even more of a mess. Right now, Helen, the only thing I can guarantee if this deal goes through is just going to have the classic, I think, like, what, late 2026 or something like that. We had the Netflix prices going up. Yeah, look at all these nice few things we're going to offer. And look at all the new HBO Max and HBO stuff we're going to offer. It's going to be like $40. Ugh. Netflix produces Game of Thrones. Netflix produces, what's it? We need another HBO Warner Brothers show. We need, what, some sort of Snyderverse thing?
I don't even know who's producing what things anymore. I'm so completely tuned out of American television these days. Not that I was ever too big in it to start with, but now it's just like,
but
I give up.
But okay, but now we get to the anime side of it. Like, will this in any way or shape or form affect like anything in anime? Because obviously Netflix has been investing in producing or being a part of like anime committee and everything with their own originals holding out. They kind of removed the originals anymore, but you know, like if you have Fragrant Flower and obviously past couple was Miami Marriage, Blue Box, name a few, where they're basically exclusively licensing stuff. So
I would assume they're going to keep doing that because it seems like some of their shows have done well for them. So I would imagine that they're going to keep trying to license shows similar to the ones that have done well for them. Like all the stuff that they were greenlighting for K-pop Demon Hunters sequels. Like, now that everyone's like, oh shit, people like cartoons.
That is true, yeah. But it's always the case of just like, where are these rights going? Because at the time you could do, oh yeah, I could do this and that, but then we wonder like, oh wait, that's a huge problem. We can't actually have this. Like, for example, I guess it's just one example is obviously Slayers used to be on Funimation, but then after the whole merger, everything, Slayers is not available on Crunchyroll. What is the exact reason and rights that's being held up as to why that's not being transferred over? So it's just little things like that. We don't know yet. Obviously, again, it's just, we're not going to get like anything immediate until next year. Just, we know that these two companies that both had their own issues have agreed to a definitive end this for it to happen, and that means there's concerns, and I'm just very overwhelmed.
But that was by far not the wildest news of the past couple of weeks. Some folks were looking around on Amazon and realized that a number of anime on Amazon suddenly had AI-generated dubs. The ones that were in English were for Banana Fish, the No Game No Life movie, which I believe is called No Game No Life Zero. I think the other one was just called Pet.
It is called Pet, yep. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
There are so many series out there that have Pet in there. I was like, is this a, like, shorthand? But no, just title is Pet. But all of these had AI beta dubs for both English and Latin America Spanish. There were a couple other Spanish ones out there that didn't get AI-generated dubs in English, like Vinland Saga. And they were all real bad. Like, I think a lot of people on social media saw clips of them going around and just, oh boy, real bad. And for some of these things, like the No Game, No Life movie, there is, in fact, a dub of it that was produced by Sentai. But Amazon previously only had the subtitled version of that movie streaming. They didn't have the dubbed version. So none of these already had a dub on the service in that particular language. So we're all kind of wondering what happened. Did they go with these thinking that, oh, there's no dub for it in this target language, so we're going to put one in there? ANN was obviously contacting people about this, and I believe everyone got back to them saying, no, we were not aware of this happening. We weren't asked permission for this, etc., etc., which definitely makes me wonder, like, I feel like this is probably going beyond the bounds of what they had licensed or sub-licensed these things for. Since Banana Fish was licensed by Amazon, it never streamed anywhere else. It's never been put out anywhere else, in English, that is. But No Game, No Life, Zero is definitely a sub-license from Sentai, because, again, they're the ones who have licensed that particular franchise in English. And usually in these contracts, there are some languages in there for, like, transformative use. That's not the right term for it, but roll with me here. But that's basically to the extent of, look, we need to take the files you gave us and do some things with them so that it can play on both somebody's iPhone and somebody's Roku TV and somebody's, like, smart fridge. You know, we got to do a couple of things to the files. We got to transform them. But that's a whole different beast than, we're going to go ahead and make an AI-generated dub here, especially since that is something that could be considered legitimately damaging to a brand, since, like I said, all of these dubs sounded like shit. They were not good in the slightest. And you'll see places like Disney is famously very protective of their trademarks, and usually the defense they use in courts is, we need to protect our trademarks both so that we can continue to have them, since if you don't go after trademark infringement, sometimes that can be grounds for you to lose it. But also, if someone was to somehow mistake this daycare of a mural painted on the wall as being official Disney art, that could hurt our brand, you know, that could hurt people's perception of our brand. That is a real example, actually, the daycare mural one, although I don't remember the exact arguments in that case. And I feel like in a lot of cases that is stupid. I feel like it's often pretty easy to tell when something is, like, officially licensed Disney merch, and other times when it's like, I don't think this daycare went and paid, like, 5 or 6 figures so they could paint Mickey Mouse on the wall. It's fine. But for something like this, where it is the official streaming service, and there is suddenly an AI-generated dub, that's a veneer of authenticity. So I would love to know what's going on in these backroom conversations that must be going on now between Netflix and the U.S. and Japanese companies on this. But we'll never know those details. I just hope Amazon's ass is getting smacked around for this.
Oh, I guess it must be, because, like, I was okay, I won't say I was shocked, but how much complaint was done to where they eventually took the AI dubs off their service. That was yeah, Twitter was
yeah.
Oh man. It was
intense. I
intense.
know, on Blue Sky, a bunch of people were saying, yeah, I'm submitting complaints. And then once they got the English language ones down, then someone came up with a script to put in for Spanish, to get those taken down as well.
Because like I feel like we get these mega companies and everything, they don't always like they just generally ignore everybody and just be like, okay, yeah, whatever, it's fine, we'll push through it. But clearly there must have been enough or more than enough pushback. Obviously with the voice actors, another English voice actors, they canceled their Prime Video accounts. They were obviously talking about this. Oh, it was a big thing. So it was obviously bad enough, or there was enough complaints about this that they decided that Amazon had to take it down, or they heard enough and say, yeah, we'll take it down. Good, obviously. It's obviously good. But yes,
And
my
as far as I know, this wasn't even something that Amazon had been promoting and pushing out. I think they did kind of try to put this on like subtly or without any
no.
fuss, and people still noticed.
Well, no, here's the thing. I was going to get to this after this. Like, I kind of wonder what was the decision to choose these particular anime? Because as it was listed in the Annan article, this is not like a new thing for Amazon. They've been pushing out these AI type of dub thing since like March of this year. So it's not like a thing that they just did suddenly. It's in the works for a while. But it just comes down to what led to the decision to choose these particular anime. Was just like a random thing. Obviously, we'll never know. Like, did they let the AI, like, obviously, they're so AI pilled. Would they let the AI pick, oh, yeah, let's do this random anime that we have on our service? People will be happy about this, right? Yeah, people were definitely happy about that for sure. But yeah, I guess the I guess second thing aside from just that is we're just living in this AI thing's just gotta stop. We've kind of had AI like. It's been hard to like regulate AI in a sense because whether we like it or not, AI is
Because the
like
US government has no teeth.
that's one thing. But the other thing is AI has kind of been around for even longer than this in many forms. It's just that over the
Yeah, but there's a
past,
difference
yeah,
between iterative and
yes,
generative.
that's the thing. It's been iterative for the past many years, more especially as an assisting tool, like just to help us out in certain ways. But now generative AI has come along. And it's progressing in a way that people have feel com for some reason people feel confident enough to put it out there even though it's not ready. It's not even close to ready. Like even from that perspective, we get into the whole stealing thing, and that's obviously a horrible thing. But then they're just literally putting this out here, and it's just awful. And I'm like, when you're developing a product, you're supposed to build a product that's actually like ready to go, not in like a 5%, even 2%, or even 0% state. That doesn't sound practical or make sense from a business perspective. So, even forget the stealing part of it, or the environmental hurtful hurting environment part of this, you're putting out a product that's just trash. Why would that make sense to you? What are you hoping you gain from this? So yeah, I'm personally obviously glad that this is happening. That obviously, you put this. Amazon put this out there only to really just prove that yeah, AI dub is just nowhere near ready to actually take off. But hell, we get to the what we really are thinking about. Like, what are these companies thinking? Because obviously, again, AI has just been a thing in most fields over this past year or so, and companies are again trying to cheap out as often as they can, or as much as they can. So we're getting to that state where yeah, this happened, but don't be surprised if they're gonna keep trying. They're going to keep doing this unless something actually comes together with these governments where they say enough is enough. It's been longer than enough. It's been more than enough for a while, but like for real, like there's got to be something that's got to change because this is not gonna stop. It's just not. Like they Amazon put the fire out. Like obviously, I'm sorry, Amazon pulled this now. I know they're gonna try again. They just are, and they're not gonna be the only company that's gonna do it either. So.
God, I'm so tired of like those auto-dubbed videos that come up on YouTube. Like, I'm clicking on a video and it's not in English to start with. Great, I can read subtitles, but no, so many times YouTube is trying to be like, oh, we created a voice based off of this speaker and auto-selected that to play. And it's like, no. And there's no setting for me to just auto-turn those off. Or it's happened to me on Instagram as well. And so now I'm like super suspicious for creators who are where I'm not as familiar with like their actual voice. It's like,
yeah, right.
Is this AI or is this your real voice? Since I know you are a French speaker natively. And it's like, stop it. I can read subtitles. Bong Joon-ho had the right of it, you know? They're not that big. They're not that hard.
It's like I always have to like literally question everything, almost everything now. Like, is this art actually AI? Is this video like the actual thing that happened? Because it just looks so ridiculous. And it's...
Yeah, I think I've caught like two or three AI-generated images and videos like this past week alone that my friends have shared, totally unaware that it was AI, since none of us like it and none of us are going to share it if we know. But it's just... I'm just so naturally suspicious. It's kind of like, you know how when you see an unfamiliar news source online, you should be suspicious and be double checking to make sure it's not like some whack jobs blog that's putting out fake news?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's how I'm having to approach every image I see that's not from somebody I already know online, like an artist I followed for years or like a friend of a friend. It's just like, I'm very tired of having to be even more suspicious of people than usual.
Yeah, it's a real problem. Like, if you're a creative person, like, how do you even feel about this, like, right now? Like, if you're just an artist, like, right now, just trying to develop and everything, you see all that's going on, like, how do you just not feel kind of crushed at the moment? Like, for real. It's just sad. And I know we kind of... Well, I guess we didn't really stray away from the main purpose because we talk about AI dubs. We just got into AI in general, but it really is just a mess. And it only feels like it's just going to get worse somehow. It's like it's already really bad. How can it get worse? I don't know. But it can.
Yeah, we haven't strayed too far off topic. We would really be straying off topic if I started talking about how people discovered that if you write ChatGPT a question in the form of poetry, it'll tell you how to build like nuclear bombs and stuff. Apparently poetry gets around the guardrails they put on there, so poets, now is your time.
I think I'm gonna move on to the rest of the news that happened before we get some sort of ChatGPT thing that is gonna blow my brain away for no particular reason. Oh yeah, let's go. Alright, so we got a couple of returns happening. So Yuki Kaylist Thunder 3 manga is going to resume serialization in February. The series entered hiatus in March due to Kaylist Hell, but it's now going to come back in the March issue of the magazine, February 6th. We have Terra from Mars, which is...
That one's still going?
Well, funny enough, again, it was still going, then it went on a long hiatus for a time, then it came back. Now I went back, and then it went on hiatus again. Then it was planned to resume back in the summer, but then it got delayed to the fall. But then again, got delayed sometime during this fall too. But now it's been announced that it still was planned to resume this year, but now it's officially, it's now official that it's going to resume December 18th. So in a few weeks from now. So, hey, for fans of Thunder 3 and Terra from Mars, congratulations. Series returning, so that's good. And then to wrap up the news section, this is very unfortunate news to really discuss. The manga artist Shunsuke Takahashi is unfortunately in a vegetative state after cardiac arrest. Gonna have to break this down a little bit because this story actually happened in September. So Shunsuke Takahashi experienced arrhythmia that led to a
arrhythmia.
Okay, thank you. And that led to
it's Greek.
That led to a cardiopulmonary arrest on September 7th. He immediately received treatment from an automated external defibrillator until an ambulance could arrive to take him to the hospital. But he unfortunately cannot recover from his arrhythmia. He then spent 3 days in the hospital ICU, but doctors eventually concluded that the damage to his brain due to lack of oxygen was too great. So he underwent a tracheotomy. I think I said that wrong, but he went to that.
Hang on, let me take a look at the word.
Tracheotomy?
I'm not seeing it here, but I think what you're trying to say is God damn it, now I can't see it. Trichotomy?
Okay.
I believe that's when they have to cut a hole in the throat to insert like a breathing tube and a feeding tube. Tracheotomy.
Okay. So he went to that in mid-September and was transferred out of the ICU into the hospital's general ward in October. And Shinsuke Takahashi's family posted on his Twitter account November 30th, U.S. Time. It could have been early in Japan, but cool, just U.S. Time and date here. So yeah, that's when we officially knew about this, and it just sounds really, really bad. Just really, really bad.
Does the article say how old he is?
No, I don't think he did. It does. We get to the... He is the creator of... let me pull it up just in case. I want to see if there was a date. I don't think there was a date in the article. Yeah, there's no date.
Yeah, since I know that it's mentioning a couple of things he worked on, which ran in, like, the 90s, sounds like?
Yep, he are. To be clear, he did the Shonen 7 and Pure Up Man. This is the Shonen 7 is... this is interesting. Because... it ran at Akita Shoto's Shonen Champion magazine in February 2014. This is considered the true sequel to Fujisawa's GT of the early years, which obviously is a conscious series. Intriguing. Also, just to be clear, the Japanese name is Shonan Junai Gumi. So that manga for Shonen 7 ended in July 2019. And then he later launched with Shingo Honda, the Piratman manga, which is in Nihon Bungeishō. Piratman.
Kind of like the studio Pierrot.
Pierrot manga.
That one's French.
Pierrotman.
That one's French. I don't know why the French decided to drop the last T, but that's how they do it.
Pierrot. I can't do this anymore.
Pierrot. It's a kind of clown. It's the sad clown.
Okay, Pierrotman.
Pierrot. No, you do not pronounce the T at the end.
Pierrot. Hero Man. Boom. And Nihon Bungeisha's Manga Garaku Magazine, August 2022. Just from
one
that,
of the weirdest things about this podcast is that you gotta know how to pronounce so many different languages on it.
Apparently. I thought we'd just like do like Japanese.
The Japanese is the easy one.
Start doing Japanese things, but okay. But yes, all seriousness. Not sure from this context exactly how old Takahashi is. It does sound like he might be maybe in his... Yeah, sorry, we're speculating, but either in the 40-50 range, maybe?
No, because I was born in 91 and I'm 34 this year. So if he was in his 40s, then he would have been born like around like 1980. So I feel like that'd be too young.
Right, but I'm just speculating. We don't really know. There's not much, it wasn't revealed or anything like that. I'm not sure. Let's see what the... Yeah, there's nothing...
I was just wondering, since a tracheotomy is fairly serious, and that's definitely harder to recover from if you are elderly.
Okay. But yeah, it's not exactly news I think anybody wants to share, and obviously I guess people were wondering what's been up with the account or the artist, I should say, to be clear. And that's, again, not the news you want to hear. Does not... Yeah. My heart goes out to the family and friends. This is obviously really difficult news to deal with, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are now done with the news, so we will move on to the licensing news. Seven Seas had another wonderful Wednesday, where they announced Heikaru Hikawa's Hanori-san still wants to fight in the next life, Aki Yukura's Crow Hill Don't Be Shy, the complete BL manga collection, which means it's an omnibus, as the fact that they had a state complete collection would imply. Ikuhito and Ohana-chan's Record of Lustful Warriors, The Rod Master's Unstoppable Conquest in Another World.
That doesn't sound like a Ghost Shutano, does surprising, it?
I was going to say, surprising absolutely no one. They also licensed Suki Aimi's Lazy Girl Momogusa, and Cool School Ninja and Come Tubu's Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, Ilulu Doesn't Understand Love. I see Cool School Ninja got someone with an equally unpronounceable pen name to collaborate with them on that one.
Kometubu? Kometubu?
Yeah, I guess. And they also licensed Mitsu Hashimoto's The Prince's Body Pillow, which is a BL title, since the body pillow in the title is kind of gender neutral, but it is in fact a dude. Since that one's not a ghost ship title or anything like that, I'm going to assume that Snoo Snoo does not ensue, but I could be wrong there.
Dark Horse announced exclusively on ANN that they're going to release a 3-book deluxe edition manga series of the following Matsumeni Shiro works. So we have Appleseed Deluxe Edition, Appleseed Companion Deluxe Edition, and Shiro Matsumeni Anthology Deluxe Edition. So the Appleseed
Deluxe At which point I must ask, do you guys not already have enough Appleseed at home?
Clearly, the people need more Appleseed at home. So the deluxe edition of just the general Appleseed is gonna hardcover, which is gonna obviously they're clean. I guess Dark Horse is clean the fangs with these nice hardcover editions. We'll start with the Berserk and recently did Planetes, so this is their claim to fame at the moment. It's gonna include books 1-4 of the series. It's gonna be really big, and it's slated for an August 2026 release. The details for Appleseed Companion Deluxe Edition and Shiro Matsumeni Anthology Deluxe Edition hasn't been shared, but at some point Dark Horse will announce more details in the near future. So happy for not just obviously the fans of Appleseed, but I guess for Matsumeni Shiro fans, just to get like a revitalized version and have a, I guess, new version of it is cool for them.
It was also announced that there's going to be a collaboration between Tokyopop and a company I hadn't heard of before, Noir Caesar Entertainment, who, according to their press release, is a black-owned indie creative company. They will be releasing the basketball manga Deep 3 in print and digital in March 2026.
Interesting for them.
Cause, did I miss this company? I miss this company coming onto the scene?
They've been around for a while. They just obviously publishing an American inspired manga, and then again, as you know, they're a black owned and indie inspired company. So that's generally been their focus. I think over the past couple of years, they've worked with Tokyopop to get their stuff out in prints. But again, they're mostly focused on American stuff, so this is actually interesting for them. It does fit, though, with basketball, that, yeah, you're going to bring over a basketball series. That's cool.
Although it does make me a little nervous, since sports manga definitely sells better than it used to, but I don't know if it's still a big seller here in the U.S. yet.
Well, we're just trying to sell.
I did go to my local comic book store yesterday, and they do have an entire section, which is sports comics, manga, and
right,
not manga.
Right now, I guess I'm putting in quote sports type of era. We got like Titan Manga putting out the Aoashi soccer series. We got like Manga Plus bring over a whole bunch of like baseball series to their service. Obviously, I don't know if it's going to be super popular or anything like that, but it mostly just fits with what Noir Caesar wants to really do and focus on. So it makes sense. I'm at least interested.
I mean, sports is definitely in its anime era, but I don't know if anime is in its sports era right now.
manga, yeah.
anime, you know what I mean.
Yeah, we'll see. And then final bit of licensing news. Girlfriend. That's finally going to get the Kodansha Print Club treatment. Feels like it's been a while since we got a new one from them, so excuse me. this will be interesting enough that this will be an Omniverse version. This will all be the first one of an Omnibus that they've done so far. So congratulations to Hiroyuki. Really getting your series out there. And now, after all this time, because this has been digital for a while. It was in 2021 when this came out digitally. So congrats to all those who've been waiting for a print edition. And they used to get like these nice chunky, nice chunky version. Very curious how it's going to look. Today, we're not recording, obviously, when it's coming out on December 9th, but by the time the podcast was up, it should, as it should. Then, yes, it'll be out. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Justin's not so insane as to record the podcast and then try to edit and release it all in a single day.
I think I tried to do that. I think I tried to do that one time before. I don't remember. I may have tried to do it once or twice, and I said never again.
So G-Kids is going to be partnering with IMAX to do some 4K restorations of Studio Ghibli films and bring those to American theaters in 2026. I feel like restoration is the wrong word here, because it's not like Studio Ghibli let the film like get dirty and need to be cleaned up. They're going to be rescanning it at a higher resolution. And this whole effort is going to be overseen by Studio Ghibli animator Atsushi Okui. I don't think they've announced which titles they're doing yet. They did do something similar this past year where they were doing a, again, 4K restoration showing of Princess Mononoke in IMAX. So I would assume this is going to be one of the ones they'll show, but I don't know which other ones they will.
Well, no, it just confirms Kiki's Delivery Service is coming back. It's going to be in 4K. Let's go! Let's go!
Yeah, you wrote that in the script, and I didn't see it in the headline, so I clicked through the entire ANN article, and I was like, where did Justin get Kiki's Delivery Service from?
I am just assuming...
Is Justin just a big Kiki's fan?
I'm just assuming. They said Studio Ghibli. That means their entire catalog is up for grabs to go for 4K. So that means Kiki's Delivery Service is in that bucket. It's going to happen. Next year. Book it.
Yeah, they're going to do like Ocean Waves.
Sure, let's do Ocean Waves. Let's do Ocean Waves. Let's go. I haven't watched that in a while. I got to watch it again. Let's go, Ocean Waves.
It's not very good, in my opinion. I've seen it once, and I was like, yeah, definitely a reason not many people talk about this one.
I guess I'll finish with the last G-Kids thing that they are going to do. They're going to screen Lupin the Third, the movie, The Immortal Bloodline. It's a new feature, that film that came out in Japan. It's going to be in U.S. theaters January 4th to the 6th. I don't think it said if it was going to be dubbed or subbed yet. Did it? Yeah, just so far. Yeah, just so.
When was the last time a new Lupin thing got a dub?
Good question. But
I feel like it's been a while.
But G-Kids is kind of interesting in that they end up dubbing 100 meters. So it's like, what won't they dub at this point?
Speaking of, 100 meters film is going to be on Netflix before the year's end. It's going to be there on December 31st. I was interested in this movie, and then I saw in the script that it's a film based on a manga by the Orb on the Movement of the Earth creator. And that immediately made me less interested because I did not like Orb very much.
Boo.
Just listen, as I have articulated before, although mostly on manga in your ears, Orb is interested in setting it in a setting that it tries to be as historic and at least give the audience the impression that it is a historically accurate thing, but it's not actually historically accurate, and that just bothers me. The author is just using it kind of as a venue to put out beliefs that don't actually match the setting in which they are putting them in. And that frustrates me.
I don't think it promised it was going to be exactly historically accurate, but okay.
I mean, when you read and watched Orb, did you think, okay, this actually seems like it's reasonably period accurate to the scientific discoveries in Europe at the time?
More like it wanted to
Or did you watch it thinking that this is all fiction, that none of this is
more by presenting what would happen or what was happening in this particular time period. And whether
it's actually not very accurate in those regards. Like, heliocentrism was actually more widely accepted by that part already. Like, I don't think the Inquisition was going after people in that particular way there.
It's more like what people
and you've just proved that you looked at this and went, okay, this seems right, and no, it's not. Now people are going to be getting the incorrect view on it, which is my beef on some things. Like, people will watch Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju and they'll think, oh, I guess women in Rakugo is a really new thing, when it's like, no, actually in our world it's contemporary with the anime. But the anime is a kind of an alternate history, but you're not going to know that unless you go out and do additional research on it. But it's portraying itself as if it is the history.
We're having, I think, viewpoints here that are a little different here.
My entire job is giving information to people.
Too different. Let's see what we got here. Once again, out of nowhere, we just got another anime for winter. It's already gonna be a packed winter season. We're gonna get another one. So we got Boys Over Flowers creator Yoko Kamiyo team up with studio for anime Make Love Through a Prism. This is slated to be on Netflix January 15th. Don't know if it's gonna be weekly or dropped all at once. We will obviously find out January 15th. I am guessing, just a guess, it's dropping all at once.
Did they mention if there's going to be a dub for it, or
no mention,
have they
not at
left
all.
Those details
not
vague?
Very vague. I mean, they literally just announced it. Just like that. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Gonna do we got an anime in January with no build up or anything like that. So let me see. And maybe it'll get a. Actually, let me. Yeah, they. Yeah, it's just a Japanese cast right now. So yeah, no word on a dub yet. So we'll have to see if this was been cooking for like years and years. And then, oh yeah, we're going to have a dub for this too. And oh, it's also sobbed up everywhere. What? How? How is this possible? The power of technology.
Also through the power of technology, Chainsaw Man Reze Arc film will be on digital storefronts on December 9th, aka the date when this podcast should drop, assuming that Justin does not run into amazing technical issues that would prevent him from uploading in time. And we've also been getting some early announcements from Crunchyroll about what they will be streaming in 2026. For the winter season, they've announced they'll be streaming Jack of All Trades Party of None and Tamon's B-Side. In the spring, they'll be streaming Kujima Why Sing When You Can Warble. That's a title. Mm-hmm. And then announced with no date attached yet are Bungo Stray Dogs 1, Season 2, and The Drops of God.
They got the Drops of God announcement for that really fast. I feel like it was just announced either last. We talked about last episode. In fact.
Yeah, because I was like, oh yeah, like I mentioned this to an acquaintance. They were like, I wonder if my boss is gonna get animated in here since he was in the manga. And you were like, that is weird. We're moving on.
Okay, Helen, I have a question. Have you ever heard of Whale Smart TVs?
No, but I am not in the market for a smart TV, so I am not the ideal person to be asking this question.
Yeah, so I can confirm that, yes, I have not heard of it either until I put the script together when I saw this. I'm like, okay, Crunchyroll, it's not going to launch their app on Whale Smart TVs. Yay for those who have Whale Smart TVs. Yay. But okay, Helen, you have heard of Vizio, though, right?
That one sounds more familiar, at least.
Yeah, I have also heard of Vizio, but I have never heard of a watch free app until RevNow sent out the press release that the It's Anime service is going to launch it on there as a 24/7 fast channel.
RevNow will do anything except release anime to be watched in a reasonable fashion.
Having to watch
limited timed releases on YouTube? Sure. 5-hour compilations of shows you can only watch for like a week on YouTube? Sure. Linear TV streaming?
Is it really a week?
Sure.
Is it really a week for those?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm making up numbers here, okay? The 5 hours part, I'm not making up. The week part, I don't know.
Yeah, I saw they put a Watanari, I think it was.
Watanari?
Yeah, I saw they put that up.
One of my friends has been calling it Yuri Murray, and I kind of wish that was the nickname for it now.
But yeah, I have no idea how long it's going to last. But yes, RevNow continues to be very weird and strange. And are you going to launch it on a...
Which says something in this climate that we are saying that this one is especially weird.
When are you going to launch a fast service on your... on Sony products right now? When's that gonna happen?
I mean, they're the ones who already did the Samsung TV Plus stuff, right?
They are indeed. But you would think
it feels like they're trying to do everything except Crunchyroll, so I wonder if they have like a blood grudge with Crunchyroll or something.
Is it actually a grudge with Sony? It probably is Crunchyroll.
I mean, I can't blame them on that one. Can't blame somebody for hating on Sony.
It probably is Crunchyroll, but yeah, it's definitely probably Crunchyroll, but could it be Sony? But yeah, it's probably Crunchyroll. All right. I think that's all the main streaming news we got. We got to go into weird news. It's not much weird news.
The actual weird news, not the weird by association news.
Let's see. I literally just like, really? What is this? And I don't mean what as in W-H-A-T. I mean W-A-T. That's what I mean. So the University of the Ryukus announced on Thursday that researchers have discovered a Super Saiyan Gobi fish. What? Okay, so a new species of Gobi fish, Van der Horstia Super Saiyan, was discovered off the coast of the Ishigashi Island, Japan, in the twilight zone of the ocean. The new species was given its name for the patterns on its fins, which resemble the Super Saiyan form from Akira Toriyama's Dragon Ball manga. I just realized this is form or four, but yeah, I guess form from actually still works anyways. But yes, the point is, we have a Goku in the ocean. We have a Gohan in the ocean. We also have Vegeta
in the ocean. Do you have a Yamcha in the ocean?
You have a what in the ocean?
Is there a Yamcha in the ocean, or does he not go Super Saiyan?
Yamcha does not go... Yamcha cannot actually turn into a Super Saiyan. He is not a Saiyan bloodline. He cannot... I mean, okay. Not a... What's it? Shoot. Is it Saiyan? Yeah, I guess just Saiyan. You have to literally be a Saiyan. Yeah, He isn't born in that line. He can't turn into a Super Saiyan. It's impossible.
Okay. I do not know much about Dragon Ball, so I was just naming the, like, next character that came to mind who I thought could possibly do it. It's
not,
like...
It's not even close.
Piccolo, no. Vegeta? Is there a Vegeta in the ocean now?
Vegeta's somehow in the ocean. We got Goten in the ocean. We're gonna have Pan in the ocean, too, at this point. Bulla is also in the ocean. I could keep going. You gotta get to the topic quickly.
Okay, so Korean webtoon and web novel platform Riddy suspended sales of a newly published BL novel called Crazy Dog Hunts a Tiger only a day after its release on November 24th, following accusations that the story closely mirrors the real-life career of world-famed professional gamer known as Faker. Everyone has such silly nicknames in, like... I've read, like, some, like... manhwa that are like set, you know, like, oh, the characters are playing a video game, and everybody has like really silly handles compared to what I'm used to seeing in English. So the real life Faker, that is a statement I hadn't uttered before, is often called apparently the Michael Jordan of esports. He debuted at age 17 and has led his team in League of Legends to multiple world championship titles, and is widely regarded as one of the greatest competitive gamers of all time. In the Crazy Dog Hunts a Tiger web novel, it centers on a male pro gamer nicknamed Tiger, a legendary player with 5 global tournament championships, portrayed as an invincible star under all conditions. And so critics of this novel have pointed out that Tiger's storyline, debuting as a teenager, achieving back-to-back championships, failing a chance at a three-peat, I'm gonna guess 3 in a row, and then returning years later to succeed, aligned almost exactly with Faker's real record. This feels kind of like it could be like someone ripping off someone else's life. It also feels like it could just be more coincidence. Like, I could see that just being the plot of a lot of sports series, you know. You did the championship twice in a row, but you couldn't do it 3 times, and so you came back stronger later. So I don't know. I feel like I'd want more points of similarity before I'd start saying that, the writer ripped him off.
Yeah, it's the...
Although...
Go ahead.
Yeah, continuing from the Annan article, the author, Yoongyu Lee, has posted an apology saying that the resemblance was coincidental, so... they posted a formal apology, yeah, so...
Yeah, it makes you wonder if it's... Obviously, we would have to be really into, like, the Korean scene to really...
I feel like it must just... Honestly, I feel like this is probably an accident, because again, that, like, and if the details were, you know, this real guy, Faker, you know, he publicly broke up with his girlfriend in the middle of a tournament and then got into a car accident, and then this character, Tiger, publicly broke up with his boyfriend during a tournament and then got into a car accident, then I'd be saying, yeah, you're definitely ripping this off, but lacking any, like, super specific similarities there, I'm thinking that the Korean netizens might just be up in arms again. Yeah, I've also been on, like, some Korean, like Kakko, their equivalent of Tapas, and holy shit, they are vicious in the comments. Like, you know how the stereotype is that, like, Western fans are, like, the ones with really mean comments? Nuh-uh. Not true. People are saying shit directly to the authors there where they can read it. It's like, oh my god, we would never be so rude.
Yeah.
I have learned so much slang about how to call a story or a character boring from reading the comments.
Well, dang. but yeah, just to add, yeah, there's very, very little that we can really parse through ourselves for this story. Literally, the only thing in the forum is that, like, there is, like, somebody actually in the forums and in forums did do as much digging as they could. That there was a, like,
yeah, since it's all gone from online now, so yeah, nobody can read it now.
It's like there was a bit more overlap with, like, the fact that it could have same spans of time between events, a whisper happening at the same point, and some similar nicknames and sayings being used. But again, as the poster pointed out, it's still hard to find much of the specifics because nobody's really actually talking about them. So you can't really, so yeah, it's really hard. We only can go by the Korean, like, the fact that the publisher had to pull it, either because of it was not too many complaints, or maybe there was something actually there. We don't know. But the fact is, it's just very weird. Very unfortunate at the same time, too, because you don't really want to have this type of accusation going on with your work, so...
And that's the kind of thing that tends to stick with a work, even if it is rebooted later with details changed.
Yeah. So, would this be the last time... Maybe we'll hear more about this again, if it's actually true, or if it was false. If we get information, we'll definitely...
If it gets weirder, if we find out that, I don't know, like, the author actually is, like, the real-life gamer's, like, ex-girlfriend or something like that.
Oh,
like,
wow, we're...
2025?
We're...
I mean, 2025 has been so weird, I am not putting anything past this last month of December.
If this actually...
In terms of reveals.
No, for real, this... Okay, this... I'm not thinking...
To be clear, I do not think this is actually the case.
No,
I'm not implying that
No. I'm saying if everything that Helen says is true, I'm sure we've had many things that should be number one.
I'm buying lottery tickets.
I'm sure we've had many things that should be number one in the weirdest news of 2025. I'm just not even thinking about it now. But if this actually... If Helen's actually... If her thoughts actually happened for this story, and it happens when this year is over... This will be the number one weird news story of the year. Putting it in right now.
I think right now our weirdest one of the year is probably going to be the Tai Chi Chasers AI generated dub.
That is definitely one for sure. But the fact that you really just put this out there in the universe, and if this actually is the case for this one, there's gonna have to do one somehow. Like you just put this out there, make it up. It actually is true.
Listen, I will be very mad at myself for not having spent years buying lottery tickets, if that's the case.
We have another crossover happening with the Avengers and Silent Mobius? Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so Kei Asamiya and Marvel announced doing Tokyo Comic Con. I think this happened a few days ago. At the Silent Mobius... X Avengers, although it's Red S Silent Mobius plus Avengers. It's gonna be a comic book series. It's gonna launch. They eventually confirmed spring 2026. It's gonna obviously feature the cast of characters from Silent Mobius, and a couple of the notable Avengers such as Iron Man, Captain America, Spider Man, Wolverine, and Doctor Strange. It was confirmed that Asamiya is gonna handle pretty much most of the things: story, line arts, and color. While we got the writer Akahide Yanagi, who's writing it and is going to translate the story into English. Yeah, this is not exactly what I was counting on, Helen. This is a really unexpected thing.
Yeah.
It does, unfortunately, for Manga Planet, that this is brought up again, because, yes, we could have... I would love to actually say I've read Silent Mobius, but, you know, it doesn't really exist anywhere because, one, it's not published anywhere right now, and then Manga Planet was supposed to publish it. They actually never did publish it. And of course, Manga Planet is going to go out of service in 2026. So the digital service is going to go out next year. So it's like, I would love to be more enthused about this. But unless I finally get around to watching the DVD I have of it in my room somewhere, I am not too hyped about this. But I'm just very curious about how this crossover happened, why it's happening, and will it actually sell well?
Also from Tokyo Comic Con, this isn't a news story, but I did see a picture online of Paro Itagaki from Beastars and Sanda. She apparently paid for like one of those get your pictures taken with Johnny Depp, and so there's a photo now out there of her in the chicken mask with Johnny Depp.
Okay.
I saw some people bemoaning it, and I'd forgot that Johnny Depp is like persona non grata, but I still thought it was funny. Although not as funny as our last bit of weird news, which is Evangelion director Hideki Anno gets his own figure as Ultraman. The figure is reminiscent of Anno from his 1983 Daikon Films Return of Ultraman parody fan short. Just
This is shit. This is this.
yeah,
This is
he sure looks
this.
like a nerd from the
This
1980s
is
in
this
this.
is this is this is
Just
hell. No, I can't. This is shameless. This should not be allowed. How can one man who created one series have this? Well, he created more than one series, but you know, Evangelion is one of his
Yeah.
most famous series. How can he have this much power? How? I know his enthusiasm
I
for.
mean, it probably helps that he directed an Ultraman
No,
movie.
I know his enthusiasm for this franchise is very serious. I know that for sure. But still.
He got married in an no, he got married in a Kamen Rider costume. Sorry, not Ultraman.
Yeah, but I think it's like a big, like, super, like a tokusatsu.
He is a gigantic ass nerd.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the rest of us, we gotta get like those 3D scans done of us in cosplay, and then you get it printed out as like a single figure. This dude just gets like a mass-produced figure of himself from something he made in college like 40 years ago. Just, I don't know if that's goals or what.
Charm life. That is just a charm life. Respect, but also shameless. Shame on all of you for allowing this. No, I am not jealous. Not at all.
I'm honestly kind of glad I didn't do nearly anything so nerdy in college that would merit this 40 years down the road. Did plenty of nerdy stuff, but nothing so visually interesting. But anyway, Justin, I think that wraps us up for this time, which is good because I still need to finish my cooking for the week.
Yay.
It is, we are entering holiday party season at work, but that means I still do need to pack a lunch for at least a couple days this week.
Yay, holiday party season at work. Woo-hoo. All right.
Nothing will ever beat 2019, my first year, where I went to four holiday parties in one day, but I knew at the time that was too good to last.
Yeah,
Now it's split up
I'm
over.
gonna be asking about
Now
that.
it's split up over like 3 or 4
I am
days.
definitely gonna ask about that experience after the podcast is over. Where can we find you, Helen?
You can find me on Blue Sky at Wandering Dreamer, and you can find the other podcast I co-host on your regular podcasting services under the title Manga in Your Ears. Online, the website is taikupodcast.com. That is TAIIKU podcast. And that is also the name of the account on Blue Sky, which hosts that, the sports anime podcast, and Corey and Chris and friends spend like 4 hours on a Sunday recording movie podcasts. Swear to God, some days I log into Discord and I'm like, why are you guys already here? And like 4 hours later, I'm like, why are you guys still here? Still recording episodes. We recently did our top manga of 2025 list. Corey and April had three very normal titles we'd all talked about on the podcast before, and I'm just rolling in like, listen up. I'm about to poorly explain three titles we have not talked about here before. And also tell you why King of the Hill should not be on this list, because it is an anime, not a manga. My manhwa is at least a manga. You know, it's a comic, not an anime. Justin, where can people try to find you
Still
online? Since I know you're not even that active anymore.
on Twitter at Kami underscore Nomi. Maybe some Fire Emblem Three Houses stuff. Maybe some surprisingly Fire Emblem Heroes related stuff. Maybe some, no, not college football stuff. I am, no sports stuff. I follow sports. Maybe some random sports team will hit my timeline or my sports list that I'll share.
I
But
was gonna say,
otherwise,
isn't like the college football season over by this
it
point?
is now going to college football playoff and bowl season. They just announced.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I was like, come on, these guys got finals. I
They
know, because my mom's got a grade finals before she can get back to watching Rakukō
just announced all the playoff stuff today, and I think the bowl stuff too today. Something infamous happened too, but I'm not sure that. But
Tell me after the
yeah, I'll tell you after
podcast.
the podcast. But yes, some of you from there can find the OSG podcast on, oh, you can find the OSG on most social media, so also on Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky. You can subscribe, check out the OSG account for previous features. You can follow the OSG podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, any RSS if you have, or you can subscribe by email for me to leave a rating and review. Always good to do. Until next time, everybody. Bye.
Does anyone actually leave us reviews?
Maybe. Bye.
Bye.